Brothers and sisters, I think one of the greatest dangers that we face is this sense of entitlement that has become part of our American way of life. We see it in many aspects of American culture. And I'd argue that this sense of entitlement has even worked its way into the spiritual lives of many Americans. And what I'm referring to is a sense whereby we believe that we are entitled to enter the kingdom of God. As we reflect upon the story of the rich young man, let's think about this sense of entitlement. As I was reflecting upon it, one of the things that came to me was what a great anticipation this gospel passage is of our American mentality towards the spiritual life. And to begin with, when we look at the story of the rich young man, the first thing we realize is the man is materially rich. He's materially wealthy. And while we may complain about our slow economy, the reality is that most Americans are rich when compared to other human beings who've walked this earth. When you consider all the resources that we have at our disposal, we certainly have more than any other society, present or past. And even the poorest amongst us have more resources available to them than many people in other nations, and certainly than people who lived centuries before us. And so, like this young man, we too find ourselves materially rich. And the similarity doesn't stop there. We also tend to be a people who are self-justified. And the rich young man also was self-justified. He comes to Jesus and he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus responds by saying, "Well, you know the commandments, and follow them." And he lists the commandments. The man then has this attitude of self-justification as he responds, "Well, all of these I've observed from my youth." Again, what a great anticipation of us. And how often do we justify ourselves with statements such as, "Well, I've never killed anybody," or, "You know, I've led an honest life." But now look at how Jesus cuts through the nonsense of this self-justifying attitude. Out of love for the young man, Jesus rebukes this self-justification by saying, "Great, you've done all that. There's just one more thing you have to do. Go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor and then come and follow me." And immediately the self-justifying smile that adorned the man's face disappeared. His face fell, and dejected, he walked away, for he had many possessions. This gospel is a stern warning for us who find ourselves among the wealthiest people to ever walk this planet. It reminds us that our economic success has very little to do with how successfully we're living our lives. In fact, quite often, material success can deter us from living lives that are truly successful. Because the goal of our lives, after all, is not to achieve worldly success, but to enter the eternal life of heaven. Now, quite frequently, I ponder whether or not most Americans would agree with me on that statement. And I think if I posed the question to them bluntly, people know that they're supposed to answer the question by saying that their goal is to achieve eternal salvation. Yet, as the saying goes, actions speak louder than words. And it seems that for many people, they, like the rich young man, only give their spiritual lives a cursory glance. Sure, they follow the commandments, they don't kill, they don't cheat, they don't steal or lie, but they also don't develop themselves spiritually. Far from seeking a relationship with God, they spend the bulk of their lives occupied with material goods and worldly concerns. And worldly things aren't bad in and of themselves. You know, when God created the world, he saw that it was good. But the problem faced by the rich young man wasn't so much that he possessed worldly goods, but that he placed them above God and above following Christ. Friends, essential to the Christian way of life is the priority of Christ. A true Christian places Christ above everything else. Nothing else can take precedence over Christ, not even a Notre Dame football game, which is why last night I was saying Mass rather than watching the Notre Dame-Stanford game. Following his commands is essential to the Christian way of life. Hence, Jesus reminds the rich young man of this obligation. But there's more to being a Christian than simply not killing and not stealing and not lying. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be willing to drop everything in order to follow Christ. Christ has to be the center of your life, and no possession, honor, or other achievement can take priority over him. And this is where we so often fail. You know, I'm amazed at the way in which people will make excuses for moving Christ down on the priority scale, often justifying themselves by saying, well, you know, Jesus would understand. He wouldn't mind if I missed Mass to watch that Notre Dame-Stanford game. Or we justify ourselves in our relentless pursuit of wealth by saying, the Lord helps those who help themselves. In all of this, what we're really doing is we're justifying ourselves as we prioritize other things over Christ. Jesus instructed his disciples on precisely how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. The reason is quite simple. We who are rich so often value our wealth over our spiritual well-being. We strive to maintain or even increase our wealthy status. If only we worked so hard at developing our spiritual lives. You know, upon hearing how difficult it is to attain the kingdom of heaven, the disciples begin to ask, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus responds by saying, for men it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. And so herein lies the heart of the matter. Let's go back to the rich young man's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And think about Jesus' response once again. Notice that Jesus doesn't give the rich young man a list of tasks to accomplish. This is because the rich young man has asked the wrong question. Our salvation isn't dependent on what we do. It's God alone who makes salvation possible. See, we don't do anything to merit eternal life. The answer to the rich young man's question is that there's nothing he can do to merit eternal life. By pointing out that it's God alone who makes salvation possible, Jesus exposes and condemns any self-justifying attitude. You see, your chance of earning eternal salvation is about as good of a chance that a camel has to pass through the eye of a needle. In other words, you have no chance at earning eternal life, at meriting eternal life. But see, here's the good news. We don't need to earn salvation. We simply have to accept the salvation that God offers to us. And we do this by following his commandments, yes, but more important to our salvation is that we prioritize Christ above everything else in our lives. We must follow him above and before all else. This gospel isn't about wealth being evil. Rather, it's about wealth being a powerful distraction that hinders our ability to follow God. St. Clement of Alexandria warned those of us who are wealthy, that's all of us, to free ourselves from the mystique of wealth and to seek God alone, as this is the only way in which we can be unwounded by the lures of wealth and truly free to walk with God. Friends, we don't have to make the rich young man's mistake. We don't have to try to justify our lives, justify ourselves. We don't need to live with this pressure of trying to earn our salvation. We simply need to make Christ the priority in our lives. And if we do that, what is impossible for us, that is meriting eternal life, is possible for God. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who prioritize Christ in their lives.